This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, Legionnaires, to the comfy couch. This is the first episode of our open source dev.
Listen, I think it's very important that we use free and open source software to develop this bug. I do. My whole speech.
Okay, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Can I go into our first segment?
Of course.
From our Google Doc?
Wait. Before we go into that, I want to say that we received a comment about our latest episode.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Our latest episode about the culinary masterpiece that is blue cheese. Apparently, this was a Monty Python's Flying Circus skit, and I did not know.
I did not know as well.
But one of our very eager listeners sent us a link to the YouTube skit of Monty Python's Flying Circus, where they talk about cheese for 6 minutes.
We'll put that into the Twitter sphere.
All right, add it to the show notes so I remember.
Yes, please. and who was that from? Which listener?
That was a listener extraordinaire / you, Aftershock Central / Valiant Central co-host / intern / listener extraordinaire Travis Wood.
Oh, good call, Travis. Yeah, we need to put that on our Twitter.
I didn't even know. It might be his mission to be on every episode, because the blue cheese episode was inspired by the conversation that we had with Travis on Open Bar about the room. And somehow we talked about blue cheese.
Yes.
All right, Nick. So tell me, what's first up on our docket?
Okay. This is a very short segment, so I'll keep it short, light and bright. I have an announcement, and this might be, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first Nerdy Award for 2018.
Go on.
This Nerdy Award, I have to call it by its trademark name. Nerdy Award goes to Alexa, drumroll. The 2018 Nerdy Award for Best Garbage Food Developed goes to the innovator, Taco Bell.
Oh?
And what is that, you might ask?
I want to know.
They just came out for the price point of $1. The garbage food is nacho fries.
Oh, yes. My wife told me about this yesterday.
Complete garbage food.
Wait, did you try it?
Of course.
All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. With 1.
Actually, wait. Hold on. Before you give me what they are, 1 and 10. Make these food-related 1 to 10s. Oh, I'm changing the game. Game changer 2018. Sorry, 2020 slate clean.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
With 1 being the now defunct Trump Steaks.
Oh.
With and number 10 being the luscious, the creamy, the pungent, and delicious Baleon blue cheese.
Oh.
Where would you rate these tacos?
They're nacho fries.
Oh, nacho fries. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. Let's not forget what award they're up for.
The Nerdy Awards.
No. For garbage food.
Okay.
Best garbage food of 2018.
So they have like embedded RFID chips.
They are horrible. They are, let's put it this way. Dewan's White Castle nibblers can move over. You know what I'm doing right now?
Oh boy.
My hand gesture, I just put it on the table and I swooped it horizontally across the table. Clear the table. We have a contender right here.
Ow.
Yes.
Tell me more. I want to know more. I want to know all the things about these.
They are such garbage. Hold on. I have to put you on hold, buddy.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
What? Hold on. What? I can't wait.
Guest appearance on the Nerd Legion podcast by Liz Wetmore.
Hi, Karamba. Sorry about that.
You're fine.
All right.
Guest appearance. First ever guest appearance.
Nope, not at all. Edit that out.
Okay.
No, they are complete garbage.
I'm still intrigued. Continue.
they taste like there's crumbled up, but no, garbage in a great way. They taste like they have crumbled up, and I didn't do any research on it, so, you know, hey, it is what it is. But it tastes like there's crumbled up either Doritos, nacho cheese Doritos, or nacho cheese Cheetos, covering all of the fries, and then you get a little bit of nacho cheese sauce to dip them in.
Interesting. But they're fries. They're made out of potatoes.
Yeah, they're fries. Yeah, for sure.
Huh. So that's interesting. So, because I saw, what did I see? What were they called? They're made by Doritos. And there is both a regular Dorito flavor and a Cool Ranch Dorito flavor.
Are you talking the famous Taco Bell?
No. It's not a Taco Bell item.
It's not the taco shell?
No.
The Dorito taco shell?
No, those are delicious.
They are garbage, but absolutely
delicious. If you want to get a great taco from Taco Bell, and I know that's stretching it, this episode not sponsored by Taco Bell.
Nor would I say it's great.
It's great. I always get the fiery Doritos, nachos, tacos, locos.
Yeah, and they're horrible.
They're great.
But in the best way.
In the best way. Look, you can get a box of like 20 tacos from Taco Bell for like $5.
Yes. Okay. It's garbage
food. You can't go
wrong
with that. It's garbage food. You can't go wrong with that. No.
No.
I went to a convenience store and they have these Doritos regular and Doritos Cool Ranch nuts. And they're like almost nuts. They're almost like corn nuts.
Ooh.
But they have.
I was just about to ask if they're corn nut ish.
Yeah, they're corn nut ish, but they're Dorito flavored.
That's all right.
So there's Doritos and there's Cool Ranch Doritos, corn nut thingamajigs.
There's some good stuff through science. You know what I'm saying?
It's all science.
Yeah, science is not a bad thing.
No, science is not a bad thing.
You're not going to live long on this science, but it ain't a bad thing. Yeah, it ain't a bad thing.
Unless it's like global warming science, then it's fake news.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's cold in Alaska. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we can't be global warming if it's cold in Alaska.
Right. True. True fact.
True fact. Not fake news. Real news. Hashtag real news. Anyways, I haven't tried them, and I'm scared to, even though I've seen them, and they have a dollar off coupon. And they're like,
wow.
And they're like $1.99.
That's like they're calling to you.
So it's like literally 99 cents for this little pouch of Dorito flavored nuts.
Well, this, the nacho fries that won the first 2000 Slate Clean Nerdy Award, I gotta say, I even ate it because I don't like the nacho cheese sauce. I ate them sans nacho cheese, and they were complete garbage food. Don't get me wrong. But they far exceeded what I ever expected them to be. Because to be honest with you, I was half expecting almost a taquito.
Interesting. I love taquitos. You know?
But you know what I'm saying? Like almost like the shell rolled up with like something stuck in the middle. In my head, I was picturing like there's got to be some weird cheese in there.
Sure.
And they're just sort of calling it a fry because it looks like a, but there's no potato. No, it was a potato.
Interesting. Well, you know, the best burritos they have are the potato burritos.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Just like chunks of burrito. With other stuff in them.
Those grillers or whatever they're called.
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Yeah, they make, I gotta say, Taco Bell's the experimental one. They always aim for the fences whenever they put something completely dumb and gross out, but at least they're trying.
So, all right, so here's the thing. Say what you will about the quality of Taco Bell's food. However, let me tell you, if you're drunk, Taco Bell's fantastic. If you're like famishly starved, like you're about to die hungry, Taco Bell is fantastic. And you got to give
people always think we're pinkies up.
Oh no, not at all. I'm all about some Taco Bell.
Right. But you just have to know going in, cuz guess what? The key question you should have asked me was how does the actual fry hold up to and then name all of the fast food restaurants.
Okay, fair enough.
The answer? None of them.
All right.
it is so close to being a microwavable fry, it's disgusting.
But here's the thing, though.
It's the addition of that little scientific, like, dust that they put all over them. Look, that's the part.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Taco Bell the Nerdy Award of 2018 for most creative use of the same three ingredients. Because let's be real. Every Taco Bell food has the following ingredients.
Uh-huh.
There's some form of taco shell, hard or soft.
Uh-huh.
There's some form of ground beef and or pieces of chicken.
Uh-huh.
And by chicken, I mean quote-unquote. There's some form of sauce.
Uh-huh.
There's lettuce, tomatoes, and cheese.
Uh-huh.
All right, so how many ingredients is that? Six? We'll say six.
Sure.
Taco Bell gets the Nerdy Award of 2018 for most innovative use of six ingredients. Because let me tell you, they have 300 items on their menu, and 299 of those have those six ingredients.
You know what they haven't utilized on their menu? Those shells that they use for those Mexican pizzas. They're not being used on any other item.
You know, they have them. It's in the, oh God, what's it called? The one that looks like what's the alien from Aliens? You know, like what? when the face huggers are still in their pods before they erupt. All right, they have a taco burrito thing that looks like that.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. Oh. People listening are like, "Oh my God, you motherfuckers! It's that thing!" And you're right, listener. It's exactly that thing. It's not flat because it's filled with the six ingredients they use on every single thing.
Sure.
But everything, like, it's like they take one of those quesadilla shells, one of those, like, you know what I mean? Like the flour tortillas.
Yeah.
And instead of folding it in half, like they do with every single item on their menu, this is folded like in, like a hexagon.
Oh, are you talking about their, it's like a grilled something.
Yes, it's grilled.
It's like their stuffed burrito, but they're doing it almost like a quesadilla.
Yes, exactly that.
Oh, so that shell's in there.
Yes, it's in there.
Oh, I thought that was just a regular tostada shell. Oh, interesting.
Okay. We're going to call it the Face Hugger Taco.
Okay, that's good.
And if that's not what it's called, then Taco Bell, you should license that because that's a great name.
And you know another issue that Taco Bell has? Not that they're high up on the garbage food chain. They're high up. High praise to them because they're always changing. They're game changers. They're innovators.
They are.
They get in the Cool Ranch taco shells. They get in the nacho cheese taco shell, Dorito nacho cheese taco shells. Mm-hmm. And then they get in the fiery Cheeto taco shells.
My favorite.
But do you think you can go through that damn drive-through? And you're right. There's only like 6 to 10 ingredients that entire place. That's it. But do you think you could go through that drive-through and be like, I want a double-decker taco supreme with the fiery taco shell?
Mm.
You would hear such a pregnant pause, and then the person on the other end, their head would melt.
They would have no idea how
to do that.
No, I don't think so.
They can take tomatoes and lettuce off your order. But I think if you asked for something that was completely like, hey, is there any way? It isn't like Burger King, where it's like, hey, we'll make it your way. Whatever you want. Double Whopper? Yeah, here you go. Triple Whopper?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, my God. You. Did you see the net neutrality Whopper commercial?
No.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll put a link in the show notes. Make sure to put it in the Google Docs so I don't forget.
Okay.
So you know about net neutrality, though. I mean, you work for a tech company. You should know.
Yes.
For people that don't know what net neutrality is, it's terrible.
First off, shame on you, and this you should go look up. Just go watch a 5-minute YouTube video. They'll tell you everything you need to know.
You know, I almost recorded an episode of something about net neutrality, and I was like, I don't think anyone gives a shit except me.
Yeah, it's such a small percentage of people that actually care about it, and yet net neutrality will affect, let's say 98% of the people.
Yeah. I'll do a brief recap. So,
sure.
Net neutrality is bad, and Ajit Pai, who's the head of the FCC right now, he made a ruling that said net neutrality. He said F net neutrality. It's not what he said, but I'm going to paraphrase. He said F net neutrality. I don't give a F about your internet. And everyone's like, all right, cool. Except now people are realizing it's not cool to not have net neutrality. Because net neutrality protects, for example, this podcast, Nick. I mean, I'm trying to make a joke out of it, but for real, like, if we have net neutrality, we might not be able to get this podcast out.
Yep.
Because people would have to pay to get this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, companies like Netflix and YouTube and Google and whoever else would be able to freely distribute their content wherever they want, whereas small, for example, podcasts like us, flagship as we are, would still not be prioritized on the internet as compared to other things. And so it's bad. It's very bad for us. And I don't even know what the point of that was. What were we talking about?
The Taco Bell net.
Oh, yes, that's right. So Burger King made this commercial, and it was fucking hilarious. I put that in the notes. Mark episode as expletive.
Oh.
Burger King made a commercial explaining net neutrality in terms of ordering a Whopper.
Huh?
And it is the greatest thing I have seen thus far in 2018. So basically, they had actors as their order people. And so people would go to a Burger King and would order a Whopper from these actors. And they're like, well, do you want like the regular Whopper? Or do you want like the high speed Whopper or like level 3 Whopper? And they're like different prices, right? So like if you want your Whopper right now, it's $26. Or you can just order your Whopper and wait until it comes to you, right? Because that's what net neutrality would do. It would put you on a back burner in order to get your stuff. So they went through this whole thing and like people are getting super pissed off, right? Because they're like, yeah, I want a Whopper. And he's like, okay, that's fine. Like, do you want this Whopper or that Whopper? And they're like, oh no, we'll take this Whopper. So they pay a regular price for it. And they're just like waiting there, right? And they wait and they wait and they wait and they want their Whopper. And they're like, well, can I get my Whopper? And the guy's like, well, like, no, you ordered like the level 3 Whopper. So it'll be like 42 more seconds before you get your Whopper. Like, I can give you the bag for your Whopper if you want, but like, you can't get your actual Whopper for another 42 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, this guy shows up and he's like, I want a Whopper. And they're like, okay, so like, here's the levels. And they're like, if you want your Whopper now, it's this level. He's like, okay, I want that Whopper because I want my Whopper right now. And they're like, okay, it's $26. So the guy like pays $26 for his Whopper. And I thought it was hilarious. It's like the best explanation of the problem with net neutrality that I've seen anybody do. partially because it's based on food, right? Like, everyone's got to eat.
And everybody understands that.
And everyone understands that. And I thought it was just genius. But, like, they're coming under fire from a lot of people, which of course they are, because everybody just wants to fucking bash on everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're coming under fire from a lot of people. And but if you watch this commercial, it is the greatest thing I've ever seen. partially because, of course, I'm a tech nerd and that kind of stuff is kind of funny. But just look up what did they call it? It was called like the Whopper Neutrality something. I can't remember. It was awesome though. Good for Burger King for actually like taking a stance on that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of big tech companies are not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because they spend so much money lobbying Congress and the Senate and all that, like they don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they're already in there. It hurts like newcomers and not so much people that are in the industry.
Yeah, it's very expensive to lobby.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to my wife about that today, because the numbers came out of how much like Facebook and Amazon and Google lobby Congress and the Senate, and Amazon is paying like, I don't know, it was like $14 million or $15 million to lobby Congress. And I was listening to a podcast and the guy like did the math on air because, you know, Jeff Bezos is the most, the richest man in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
By a long shot. And the $15 million that Amazon spends on lobbying Congress is equivalent to like $10 to Jeff Bezos. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's how you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you know.
That shows the division pretty well.
Yeah, it gives you a good example. Because, like, if you see, like, all right, he's worth like $130 million or something like that. Or $130 billion.
Right.
And if you hear that, like, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you and I will never have even $1 billion. But, like, he's got $138 mm-hmm. And, like, how does that translate to what normal people would see as some kind of money they can transact with? And the fact that it, like, that much money, it's like more money than you and I together combined will see ever, is equivalent to like $10 for him. It's just utterly insane.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a drop in the bucket for him.
But you know what? I still buy his products because they're awesome. Alexa, you're the best.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
But it still doesn't mean that these companies shouldn't be lobbying for something that is just wrong.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's not something we generally discuss here.
Right. And you know why I like a lot of socialist edict, but it's like socialized medicine.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very easy for the government just to go and look at, like, what's your age? What diseases do you have? What operation do you need? How long will you live with this operation or without this operation? No, that won't work. That won't make you last, you know, X amount longer. Then we're not going to give that to you. Yeah. So it's there are parts where it becomes a little confusing and very sad.
Yep. Yeah, dude, I'm totally with you. I've been that way since high school. Matter of fact, in high school, I wrote like a 200-page, I think I still have it, a 200-page like history of socialism thing.
Nice.
But we're not going to talk about that here. But I'm with you. Just, it's nice in theory, you know what I'm saying? But in practice, a lot of stuff doesn't work. And I think part of the reason that it doesn't work is because people are just generally assholes.
Yep.
And that's kind of ultimately...
Yeah, enough people bury their head in the sand and they don't really care who gets elected until after the elections when everyone else wants to bitch about it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I was thinking about it today because the guy that was running against Putin in Russia, he got arrested today.
Wow. No, I didn't.
Yeah, he got arrested. They've been trying to discredit him for a couple of weeks and I guess he's still in the running. And they arrested him today. And it was funny because they're like posting it on video of the dude getting arrested by Russian police.
Wow.
That's a little, it's rough, right? Like we try to keep this podcast, politics free.
Yep.
But like sometimes you can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you and I both do a really good job at, in general, not discussing those kind of things, both on the podcast and in social.
Yep.
Because I think you and I agree that most of our listeners listen to this more as an escape, I think.
Yeah, this is an NPR.
This is not diff, for sure. Although, let me tell you, Nick, I'm not going to read this email here, but I did get an email about how our, not the last episode, but the one before, was an NPR episode.
I like those emails. Come on.
Yeah, we're not going to read it on air. I don't like to embarrass our listeners on air.
How would it embarrass them? They wouldn't have sent it if they didn't believe it.
Well, and they should know that we probably read it on air.
Yeah, of course we would.
I'm not going to do that. But okay. we did get an email about how not the blue cheese episode, the one before that.
The one that we talked about Hollywood.
Yeah, the one we talked about Hollywood. They're like, oh, the Nerd Legion's an NPR episode now. They said something about we're sponsored by NPR.
I wouldn't mind that.
So they try to use their own joke against us, Nick.
Dang it.
Shame on them.
Well, can you at least give them a shout out that at least we're reading their emails?
Not doing that.
No.
Fuck your email, listener.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez, you are working against everything I'm trying to promote. Listen. I like listener questions.
Listen, here's the thing, Nick.
And I like emails, and I like reading this stuff.
I think by now, after 30 years of this podcast.
Yes.
When we make fun of people, we cuss them out, they take that as a compliment.
Are you sure?
Well, I got to tell you, Nick, if anyone's still listening by now, it's not the kind of people that get easily offended. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess you have. I guess so.
So, yeah. But shame on you. Shame on you. We're not sponsored by NPR.
Hey, some stuff, you know, it sticks in our craw and we have to talk to each other about it. We might not have all of the facts. Oh, well. That's what the good listener's there for. They can be the fact checker.
Yeah. They can be the fact checker. Or they can listen to my new podcast.
Oh, God. Shameless promotion.
Tentatively titled The Geek Vine.
No.
Because I didn't want to make a new Twitter account, let's be honest. And I was like, I'm just going to call it that. And then they could just tweet at me.
What the hell?
I had to promote it. Because I recorded the first episode tonight.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I generally discuss on any podcast. And I was just very happy with the way it turned out.
Oh, I like that.
So
that's good.
Yeah, so I was very happy with it. Unfortunately, I can't pre-record a lot of them because a lot of them are kind of... or current news type things. But there is a weekly rant. And
well, maybe you could do net neutrality on one of these.
Yeah, it's possible.
Hey, it'd be a good topic. Something different.
If it comes up again, I've got to tell you, the weekly rants, I already have like at least a dozen pre-planned.
Yeah.
So if I ever get to net neutrality, it might be a while.
Dang, nice.
But yeah, I was really happy with the way it turned out. It's about... it is variants are not killing the comic book industry. Diamond is.
Ooh.
And the title is a little bit strong. It's got a little bit of SEO juice in it.
Yes.
Because I don't fully believe that Diamond is killing the industry, although they are.
And you want to use all of Twitter's 280 characters now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun recording, dude. It was a lot of fun recording. And,
I like it.
That's why I put out a tweet about I was looking for podcasts from comic book shops.
Yes, and I saw that tweet.
A lot of people saw it. A lot of people liked it. Very few people replied.
Hey, my buddy Craig did.
He did, and I appreciated that. That podcast is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The problem that I found over the last few days as I tweeted about it is that there are a few podcasts from comic book stores.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, and I tweeted about that tonight before we recorded, the problem is a lot of those are not good.
Can I throw out one that I didn't tweet to you about, but
yes.
It just came to me right now.
Sure.
And the reason it didn't come to me when I read your tweet was you said comic book store specifically.
Yeah.
And the one that came to me right now, even though it's not a store, but would you consider the podcast that Comixology puts out? Oh my God. I thought your microphone wasn't going to pick that stuff up anymore. What the hell?
Oh, it mutes it by decibel level. So it's still going to pick up by loud ass.
God forbid there's a mute button on your new setup. Holy mackerel.
Well, I was letting dogs in at the same time, so I wasn't like close enough to hit the mute button. To be honest, I have still not heard the Comixology podcast, so I don't know what it's about.
Gotcha. To be honest with you, I'm surprised when comic book store chains, that's why, like, way to go Comixology. I'm shocked when chains, sure, mom and pop shops, I can't really blame them if they don't have the time to do a weekly podcast, but you would think that they go through all of the information in previews. They are so, like, they're ingrained in the system. Why wouldn't you do 15, 20 minute weekly podcast of like, here's our top picks. Last week we read this. These are our top picks from last week. And just like an incentive of like, oh, I missed that. Ooh, I should go in and get that.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that because even though that's not what I'm looking for,
mm-hmm.
I think it would make a lot of sense for a shop to have a podcast like that.
Yeah, just real quick in and out. I mean, 20 minutes, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. And I received some good recommendations.
Good.
And I went and I looked up online. I listened to a lot of these, and I try to search comic shops, and I try to find their podcast. And there are a lot that were not recommended. But the problem is, a lot of them were, just as you said, the review podcasts. Like, here's what's coming into the store this week. Like, what we read, this is what was good. And that's fine. But that's not what I'm looking for.
Sure.
And I think if I was like just a regular comic book reader, that might be enough for me. And so I totally understand why those shops do those kind of podcasts. But as a more, I want to say this.
Oh, I can't wait to make fun of this. Go ahead.
Can we just say advanced? Is that okay?
I was thinking you were going to say that. Ooh, okay. Advanced. Cool.
Well, I mean, like.
Bring me my chamomile tea, please.
As a pinkies up comic book reader. I mean, let's be serious, right? Like, I've been reading comics for 28-9 years, right? You've been reading comics for at least that long.
Who?
You.
Oh, God. I've been reading comics since I was 4.
Okay, so a lot longer than that.
Yeah, before I could even read, I was looking through the pictures.
We're not going to say how old you are. We'll just say 29.
I'm 78.
My wife is 29. She's been 29 for many years.
Smart.
So we'll just say that. So Nick is 29. So he's been reading comics for at least, 29 years.
Uh-huh.
I have been reading comics for at least 20 years. And so I feel like, and I think it's true for a lot of our listeners too, right? Like if we have listeners that have not been reading comics for a long time, I don't know about it. Because I think at least the people that actually chime in, I've been reading comics for, at least 10 plus years.
Yeah, whenever somebody's like, I'm a valiant reader, and 2 years ago, I decided to pick up DC Rebirth. That always blows my mind. Just like, it took you to, like, what in DC Rebirth, like, inspired you to be like, you know what I'm picking up? Somebody completely different now. Like, that's the mindset that I want to, like, figure out. You know, what's the impetus of that person? Like, ooh, that Batman issue looks good compared to last month's Batman issue.
Well, see, but I like those kind of listeners.
So do I. I love
because those are the kind of people that, to me, are willing to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's plenty of comic book readers that are just DC readers or Marvel readers, and they just that's what they know and love, and that's fine. But guess what? That's not going to help the industry.
But my point is, I know a lot of Valiant that went the other way. It's easy to be a DC or Marvel reader because you have 30 issues to choose from or 50 issues to choose from in a month. Like Valiant, you have 8, you have 6. And like that mindset of like, let me try this, big ass corporation. Like that seems like an overwhelming thing. And I never really asked any of our listeners or friends, like, how did that transition happen? Or they tried like Aftershock. Like what? Like how did, like it doesn't, none of that stuff looks like Valiant.
Yeah.
But yet somebody reached out and was like, it's just like some of the people that are really into independent comic books and all of a sudden they try a Capes and Cowls.
So
like, was it Alan Moore that brought you into that?
Well, see, so like I'd love to do a poll one day, right? Because we have so many podcasts on this network, but a lot of the times, a lot of the people that are crossing over between podcasts began somewhere else, right? So, sure. So a lot of people started out listening to Valiant Central because, to be honest, that was the first one we had on this network before there was a network. And then they start getting into other things, right? So, like, we bring up, say, Aftershock, some kind of DC book or some kind of Marvel book. Or like Lion Forge books, and people want to start spinning off. And so we have podcasts that cater to those people.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I don't want to do a poll, first of all, because I don't think people, like, there's not a genuine, I don't want to say that's the right thing. Not like a genuine interest in answering polls somewhere. Because with the polls, you can't, like, reach your whole thing, right? Like, not everybody that we talk to is on Twitter. So, like, I can't just do a Twitter poll. Because you might get like a dozen or two dozen replies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like our listener base, right? Or I can't do it. Well, I can't do it on Facebook because I'm not on Facebook. But I can't do it on Facebook because it'll be the same thing, right? Like it'd be like a dozen or two dozen people replying.
Sure.
So like if I did a poll, I could never get an accurate number of how that works. But I wonder like how many people that listen to one of our podcasts on the network in any respect end up trying some of these other things because that's something that we talk about on a podcast that you normally wouldn't talk about that kind of thing on, right? So like if it's Valiant Central, for example, all Paul talks about is Turtles and Hellboy, and that's fine. But like, you know, Turtles and Hellboy, anybody can pick that up,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we bring up Lion Forge, for example, Lion Forge is very similar to what Valiant was doing in the early 90s. But, you know, I don't hear a lot of people talking about Lion Forge now. And why that is, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't really care, to be honest, because the books are awesome and I love them. But that goes into a different conversation. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad this was brought up. Because one of the episodes I'm planning from this new podcast that I'm doing has to do with this exact thing. Because I was on Twitter tonight and I saw a couple of comic creators retweet a couple tweets from people that work for comic book related websites.
Mm.
And it was about how to get your indie comic noticed by one of these sites. And that's something that I kind of want to talk to you about because it's interesting to me. And even though I'm going to still discuss it, I feel like, the way that it was handled, I think it was like retweeted and discussed to try to get indie publishers and creators to understand how to properly get noticed by a big outlet. But the way that I read it and the way that it came out seemed to me more like these outlets don't really give a shit about those kind of things.
No.
All they want to do is publish whatever the newest Marvel movie is or the newest DC movie is or whatever the comic is or like big events, right? Like for tonight, for example, tonight I wanted to talk about DC No Justice. Have you heard about No Justice?
No.
All right. We're not going to talk about it now because I want to talk about this instead. But Scott Snyder's doing that whole DC Metal thing.
Yep.
And after Metal is over, they're going to cancel Justice League.
Wow.
Which has become amazing because Christopher Priest is right. But they're canceling Justice League and they're going to launch, like, I think it was 4 new Justice League books.
Hmm.
And I've got the teams for you. The teams sound awesome, by the way.
Are you ready? How are we not talking about this?
All right, fine. We'll talk about it. All right, you ready? Here's the teams. There's going to be Team Mystery, which is Martian Manhunter, which, by the way, great choice because Martian Manhunter has not been in any Justice League book. Because Cyborg took over Manhunter's spot in Justice
League. I was going to say, we haven't even seen him in Rebirth, have we? Yeah, it's his last showing was 52, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So Team Mystery is Martian Manhunter, Sinestro, Superman, Starfire, Starro.
Starro?
That's what I said.
How is this Mystery?
I don't know, but it's called Team Mystery.
Because I would say the least person of Mystery is Superman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's pretty cut and dry.
Looking at the rest of the rosters, this almost seems like the team where they had characters and they didn't know where to put them. And they're like, let's just put him in Team Mystery because we don't know what to do with them.
Team Catch-All.
All right, so that's Team Mystery.
Let's not forget all of this, like, mocking and whatnot. The comedy aspect of Nerdy Legion right now does not reflect our views on Scott Snyder.
I love Scott Snyder.
Yeah, we can pretty well let him and Jeff Johns do whatever they want. Yeah, we will shut up and buy and read.
I kind of wish he would just quit all this bullshit and just do more witches, but that's fine.
That's okay. That's all right.
He can do whatever this is.
Matter
of fact, I've got thoughts on whatever this is. All right, next team.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Starro?
Have they announced any of the creative teams behind these teams yet?
Today,
might make more sense.
So they have technically they have not announced any.
Okay.
However, tonight, like minutes before we start recording, Francis Manapul is going to be on one of these teams.
Ooh. Writing or drawing?
Drawing.
Okay.
The writing team is Snyder, Tenian, Williamson. Maybe it's just three. Anyway,
so is it all of the Batman Eternal, Batman and Robin teams just switching over to Justice League?
Yeah, kind of, right?
Yeah. So, hey, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
So after Metal ends, they're doing a 4-issue like Justice League Metal thing. Okay. Justice League No Justice. It's a 4-issue weekly book, which means I will not read it because I don't read weekly books.
Oh no.
But it's co-written by Snyder, Tenyan, Williamson, and art by Manipul. Mm-hmm. After the 4-issue miniseries, they're mm-hmm. relaunching the one Justice League book into multiple Justice Leagues. So we already went over Team Mystery. Then you've got Team Entropy, which is Lobo.
I'm sorry, what?
Team Entropy.
Entropy?
Entropy.
Okay.
Which is Lobo.
All right, I'm out.
I guess it's 90s time again.
I'm out.
Lex Luthor.
Oh, damn it, I'm back in. Okay.
All right, get ready to be out again. Beast Boy.
I like Beast Boy. Okay, go on.
Batman.
Okay.
And Deathstroke.
Those are some odd choices.
Right?
They're starting to develop into teams that this is the type of crap when they gather these type of teams. I mean, my favorite team. Let's just throw this out. My two favorite teams ever. Superhero teams. Champions. And Defenders. Because they are the misfit of the misfits. And I love them. And this is what these two teams sound like. I love it.
So my favorite teams, if we had to do Marvel, it would be either Generation X or mm-hmm. the New Mutants.
Ooh, good one.
And if we had it to DC, mm-hmm. it would be The Outsiders.
Ooh, good one. See, you like the misfits too.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
that's why the personality of Changeling with Batman.
Mm-hmm,
see, Batman and Deathstroke are very similar.
Yeah, see, that works, and I think that'll give it some Housewives of Orange County like drama. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just can't ever get over Lobo. Lobo is Deathpool to me.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody that I work with. He found out that I read comics. And so he came up to me, it was a couple weeks ago, maybe like a month ago. He's mm-hmm. like, just out of nowhere. I don't know. This is how I knew, like, he found out I read comics. Out of nowhere, he's like, dude, did you know that they're making a Lobo movie? And I was like, no, they're not. And so he starts telling me, like, this whole story about this Lobo movie that they're making. And, like, the guy that is like second in command at Netflix, like wants to make this like a Netflix original. And I was like, this dude has got the best imagination in the world. but it was cool. Cause like now we can talk about comics cause he made up this bullshit about Lobo.
But now the CGI is so good. They can have those floating dolphins right next to him.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder how much of it is like a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing. Because apparently he read comics in like the 80s and 90s, and he was a really big Lobo fan back in the day.
Sure, and so sure. A lot of people were.
Of course, it makes sense that he didn't want a Lobo movie, but guess what? It's not happening, so.
Did you at least tell him, hey, you should go and buy the latest Justice League?
No, but I did tell him he should go listen to the Nerd Legion podcast.
Oh, God, don't do that. Sorry. Well, sorry to your coworker.
Guess what? He did. Name. He did. He loved it.
Ooh. Ooh.
He was listening to it at work, and he was laughing hysterically.
Did you tell him don't listen to episode 100?
Well, after he was laughing, and I was like, what are you listening to? He's like, Nerd Legion podcast. And I was like, don't listen to that at work.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay.
That is earphones only. And please don't bring up the website and listen to it through that way.
Yeah, don't ever go to nerdlegion.com or tell your coworkers about nerdlegion.com or go into iTunes and searching for Nerd Legion because it's bad. Bad news. Bad news bears.
But go on to iTunes, search for Nerdy Legion, and then rank it and give it 5 stars and rate it.
I mean, at least 5.
Yes. Unless they've added more stars, then just give us 4 stars.
Give us more stars. All right. So next team is Team Wonder. This one makes a little more sense.
Entropy. Okay, go ahead.
Team Wonder is Raven.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Fate. Zatanna.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wonder Woman.
God.
And Etrigan the Demon.
This is what Justice League Dark should have been.
This is the one that I want.
Yeah. It's
totally the one that I want. All right.
Oh, God, I love it all. Yes.
Here's the one that I want the least.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to explain to me
okay.
how this is Team Wisdom.
Ooh. All right.
Are you ready?
Is Billy Batson on it?
No.
What?
Team Wisdom.
But wait, we have to discuss this. Let's come on. Let's peel back this onion.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
We haven't seen Shazam
nope.
in Rebirth yet.
Nope.
You're doing a Team Wisdom, and you're not going to have Shazam on this?
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, it would so make sense. Oh man, that disappoints me. Okay, go ahead. Tell me this. Tell me this dumb quote unquote wisdom team.
This is
Are you sure Lobo's not on it? At this point, you might as well throw Lobo on the wisdom team.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, can I ask? Okay. See, now people are popping into my head. Is Mr. Terrific on this team?
You would think.
God darn it.
But the thing is, Mr. Terrific is in another book already.
I don't care.
No, you what? Do care.
Wait, hold on. So, going back to Entropy, Batman isn't in another book?
He's just in that one book.
Come on.
Look, Mr. Terrific cannot show up in this book because Mr. Terrific is mm-hmm. in The Terrifics,
mm-hmm.
which comes out in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mr. Terrific,
mm-hmm.
Metamorpho,
ooh.
Plastic Man,
oh,
and Phantom Girl.
Good God! That's good.
It's good, right? That's Jeff Lemire book.
That got me smiling. That is
by the way,
that's a good team. And who's drawing that? Come on.
Oh God, I don't know. Ivan Reese. No, yeah, Ivan Reese and Joe Prado.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'm picking that up. It's gonna be good.
I want it to be whimsical.
Listen. Here's the thing.
Art-wise, I want this, like Doc. Dude, I want like Doc Shaner on it. Look, you know what I'm saying?
This is like this could almost be a topic for a whole episode because do you know who shows up in the Terrifics?
Mm-mm.
I'm Strong.
What? Oh my God, that's so good.
Not only that, I don't know if you've heard about this whole thing, but do you know who just showed up in Justice League of America?
Mm-mm.
Promethea.
Really? Are they bringing in a lot of top 10 characters?
They're doing, like, all these top 10 characters. I gotta tell you, Alan Moore must be, like, throwing feces everywhere.
He's flipping over in his coffin, which, of course, Alan Moore sleeps in a coffin. So he's...
he does.
Yes.
True. I'm telling you, he's like, Alan Moore is, like, going to, what's a comic book website I don't hate?
No, just name one of them that you absolutely hate, because he won't be showing up on that at all.
No, I can't do that. We'll just say Newsarama. That's not horribly, terribly bad. It was just kind of bad. He like reads Newsarama daily.
How about all comic?
Yeah, okay, well, I like all comic. All right, fine.
I know.
So Alan Moore goes to all-comic.com on a daily basis to see what the comic book news are.
Yes.
And every once in a while, they show, like, Tom Strong and Promethea, or, like, they talk about Doomsday Clock. And he's like, these motherfuckers! And he just takes his poop and just throws it at the screen.
He subscribes to the all-comic YouTube page.
Yes.
And then whenever his characters pop up on one of the videos, he unsubscribes. Then the next day he goes back and subscribes, watches a few videos until another one of his characters shows up, and then he unsubscribes.
Well, you forgot about the throwing poop part.
Yes, that as well.
He's got to throw poop at it.
But he completely forgets what he just did the following day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you, dude. I think something must have happened with DC and Alan Moore. And they're just like, fuck this guy. We're just going to shit on him like every day.
I don't think it's that. I think they have, at this point, it feels like a death in the family, and they've realized he's not going to go back. He's not going to have a change of heart. We've tried for decades to have him come back in the fold, have his characters come back in the fold, with him saying, absolutely, they use my characters and I love it. He's never going to be on board. He's never going to change his mind. He's, no matter how much money we back up to him, he just does not care. And his stance will always be the same. Screw it. We own these characters. Let's move forward. Which I can't blame them. They're a business.
I don't know, man. It's...
But let's go back to Team Wonder. Why isn't Promethea on Team Wonder now that I know that she can be in play? What the hell?
Dude. All right. Yeah, Team Wonder. Okay, yeah, maybe. But
I just love it. I'm digging all these books now. And the one that you didn't like the... Wait, did you like it the most? The last group?
Team Wisdom is my... Oh, wait, we didn't go over the roster.
Okay, go over all right, the roster.
Team Wisdom, are you ready?
Yeah.
Alright, well, before we get there, I say to you, Justice League, Team mm-hmm. Wisdom.
It sounds like it would be a great shirt. That you could head over to threadless.com/nerdylegion to get your Team Justice League Team Wonder shirt.
Like, there you go.
Oh my god. Yeesh.
Alright, if I were to say to you, Justice League, Team mm-hmm. Wisdom,
mm-hmm.
tell me, just pick at least three, but up to five characters that you would put in Team Wisdom.
Well, I fired off Mr. Terrific and Shazam.
Okay.
Let me think. Huh. Detective Monkey?
Oh, Detective Chimp?
Yes.
Nice.
Shoot, I'm drawing a blank, so help me. What is his name? Niles Cauldron? The leader of Doom Patrol.
Dude, Doom Patrol? I haven't read that in like 20 years.
I know, but there's a new series. Feel free. You can get it whenever you want.
Yeah.
It's available.
I'm not reading that.
I know, but I'm just trying to think of wisdom. Can I have Elongated Man?
Oh, God, dude. Are you watching Flash this season?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. All right.
I got time for that.
Let me tell you, Flash this season is horrendous.
Yes.
However, this last episode was Elongated Man-centric. It was hilarious.
Interesting.
They pitted him against the new Trickster. Because, you know, Trickster is Mark Hamill.
Yes, I know.
But they had his son has been in jail. His mom broke him out. And it was hilarious. Like, I'm sure a lot of people are going to hate it. So effing funny, dude. It's so funny. I love
it. Okay.
All right, anyways.
Can I guess one more?
Sure.
And I'm only going to guess one more.
Sure.
The Riddler.
Not even close. All right.
I know. I know all of my guesses are not going to land.
You know what? But that's actually not a bad one.
Can I also throw in... Oh, shit. What's his name? Not Solomon Grundy. Help me out. The apes.
Oh, Grodd?
Yeah. Gorilla Grodd.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I know. I'm trying. Hey, since Luthor's in one of the teams, why can't I throw in him?
See, you're so good. Maybe you and I should do these teams.
Dude, all I know is Team Wisdom without Shazam. Ay, caramba. All
right, Team Wisdom, I think, is the worst one. Listeners, if you disagree, let us know. All right, Team Wisdom, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg.
Makes sense. Okay.
Because they have to put him in there. My favorite one, Harley Quinn. The Atom. Mm-hmm.
Which Atom?
They don't specify.
Okay.
The Flash.
Oh, okay.
And Robin / Damian Wayne.
Oh, boy, they love... Damian Wayne is slowly becoming the next Wolverine.
Think so?
He is showing up in a lot of books, my friend.
I don't know about that, dude.
I don't know. Some people must love him. I like him.
He's not in a bunch. He's in Batman. He's in Teen Titans. He's in... Whatever, Team Wisdom.
He's in... Is Disney still in... What is it?
Oh, Super Sons.
Yeah, Super Sons.
Look, here's the thing.
And then he's also showing up in various Batman books.
Look, I don't give a shit what anybody says. Grant Morrison's a genius. Damian Wayne is the best. But fuck yourself.
Agreed, and that's why I have a black and white Damian Wayne statue.
Oh, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I need next. The Frank Quiley.
Yes, you do. It's a pretty one.
Anyway, yeah, it's Team Wisdom. So the Team Wisdom seems a little weird to me. I would say, in terms of the team names they have chosen,
if you know what that should be, Team Wise Ass.
Wise Ass.
Yes,
I like that better.
just make all the comedic BS, like put Changeling over there. Just make all of the quippy people all together. Just put them all there.
But here's the thing, like, you've got Cyborg there. Cyborg's gonna be like, these motherfuckers need to get off my team. You know what I mean?
He's like, I'll be in the tower.
Yeah,
he's like,
I'm gonna
do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go analyze shit. You guys go be annoying somewhere.
But guess what? Put all of the quippy people together, but then give it to a comedic writer and let them go. Go have fun.
Yeah.
But, God, that just.
I found that interesting.
Aquaman, huh?
No, well, Aquaman. So I'm glad you said that. Number one, I found it interesting that Beast Boy is in a team with some heavy hitters. Because, I mean, Lobo, granted, very 90s, but Lobo, Lex Luthor, Batman, Deathstroke, and Beast Boy. That's odd. But yeah, no Aquaman. And I found that really strange because Aquaman's always been a founding member of the Justice League. And yet...
Well, as well as on the big screen.
Sure. Well, and I mean, we're getting an Aquaman movie this year, right? That's this year, isn't it?
I thought it was 19th, but I could be wrong.
Let's find out.
But still, we are getting a movie. Why wouldn't he be in a Justice League team?
Sure.
That's a head scratcher.
Yeah, it seems very weird to me. All right, so I'm seeing October 5th, 2018.
Wow, and we haven't seen any trailer yet. That scares me.
Really?
Well, a lot of these superhero things, you know, they... a lot of these films, they start putting out teaser trailers, you know, a year and a half before it's even out.
Yeah, but I'd rather they didn't.
I know you'd rather they didn't, but I don't know. That doesn't sound good to me.
So I'm surprised we haven't talked about that. Because based on the Aquaman world stuff that we saw, just almost like they would just not talk at all, just in the Aquaman movie, right? Because when what's his name? Bad guy,
I don't even recall
that guy. When he goes to Atlantis to get the Mother Box, they're underwater, so of course you can't talk underwater. So it's all silent. And I hope that's not what they're doing for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've got to be talking.
Put an oxygen bubble around your head. Now let's talk.
Yeah, dude, Mira can do that.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that Aquaman is not in any of these teams. And yeah. I hope, you know what? Part of me hopes that means that whatever is in store for Aquaman is going to be fucking awesome. Right? Because, like, the book's been really good.
That's like, what I've heard.
Since it started. And with a movie coming out, you would think they would want to put some effort into making this book, or this character the best that they possibly can.
Sure.
But it has me worried that he's not under, like, why would you not put him on? You know what? Maybe Scott Snyder is an Aquaman hater. Maybe he's one of those guys that's just like, this guy just talks to fish, like, fuck this guy.
I don't like Geoff Johns anymore, so guess what? I'm going to take your character and do nothing with it. Goodbye.
Oh, man. But
maybe that's going to be another title that Bendis will pick up and start writing. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I think Aquaman's starting a new arc fairly soon, and it's still Abnett writing it. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Yep. Coming out of the events of Dark Knight Metal, begin to take effect on... Okay. So yeah, Dark Knight Metal is having some kind of effect on Aquaman.
Well...
This whole, like, metal thing has me a little worried, Nick, about DC. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
I like metal. I like what they've done with it. I haven't read the all the stuff on the mini yet, but I like the one-shots.
Okay.
But
you like it, but not enough to tweet about it.
Yeah, and I've read some things about like stuff that Snyder says about DC Metal, and it. I don't want to sound like one of those guys.
Yeah, don't be like one of those guys.
I don't want to be like one of those guys.
Be like one of us.
But all right, I'm going to say this. You know I love Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And you know I love Multiversity.
Yes, you do. And you love Elseworlds.
Yes. But based on the stuff that I'm reading about what Snyder wants to do, post-metal, it becomes almost very obvious that for him, the multiverse stuff is not enough to make an interesting DC universe.
Huh.
And I think it's a shame.
Not enough worlds for him?
Yeah, not enough worlds. Because 52 worlds is obviously not enough.
Just not enough.
So he has to make this dark multiverse.
We can't contain it all. Now we need 52 dark worlds.
Matter of fact, I wish we kept Google, like actual Google Docs. because I saw an article the other day where there was a quote from him about this exact thing.
Oh.
Where it was almost to the effect of like he doesn't like DC has never had this kind of scope on things, like this kind of intricate universe where he feels like with DC Metal, the DC universe has become like wide open. And I don't disagree with that. Metal does open up a lot of things. But the thing is, like, you already had these 52 fucking worlds to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So are you telling me, like, you didn't have enough from 52 worlds to come up with any of these storylines where you had to come up with this complete, like, negative universe? That doesn't make sense to me.
That's not what we're about. We're not about that negative universe. Oh my gosh.
Okay, it's not now this recording.
Now this time I know you're next to your cough button.
Well, here's the thing. It'll record on our chat, but not.
Ah, very good then.
So,
but we're not about the negative. That's not what we're about.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it bothers me, dude. Because to me, it doesn't make sense. Right? Like, if you want to make a whole new thing, that's fine. Right?
Sure.
And I love Snyder. I love most of the things he's done.
Ooh, okay.
I love most of the things he's done for DC.
I heard a blanket statement coming, and I didn't want you to tuck that in first.
Put the lotion in the basket. I love a lot of things he's done for DC.
Sure.
But, so one of our friends, we were talking on Discord the other day, and he was not excited about this because he feels like maybe DC is putting too many eggs in the Snyder basket.
Mm.
And to me, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like DC's putting too many eggs in the Snyder basket?
I think they're giving him a long leash, for sure.
Because here's the way that I'm looking at it. It almost seems like with Snyder there, and now that Bendis is at DC, it's almost like, where are we going to go with this whole universe? And it kind of worries me because I very much feel like DC has been very focused in the direction of their books over the last couple of years.
Sure.
And if they're giving Snyder this much free reign to change things based on this made up universe that he came up with over the last couple of it almost feels like a lot of that isn't being thought out very well. See what I'm saying? So, like, them giving Bendis Superman, like, I'm fine with that. I'm sure Bendis will come up with some great story that will take 10 years to tell. Because that's what he does. But the stuff that Snyder is doing with Metal, like, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great as an Elseworlds story.
Yeah.
I love the one-shots. I love the possible future storylines that it could come up with. But it almost feels to me like it's kind of shitting on all the other possible stories that could be told with the continuity we already have simply because Snyder wants to come up with this alternate dark universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't appreciate. That seems like a bad move to me for a consumer.
Well, he's the cash cow right now. He's the golden goose.
Is he? Like, why is that?
Because his books make a lot of money.
Okay, but why? Like, what is that about? Because Tom King's Batman does more than Snyder's Batman did.
Yeah, but, well, sure. Yeah, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Who's to say they're not going to give Tom King his own little area to play around in? Who knows?
And, I mean, I heard somewhere that Tom's going to be doing the next the DC crossover event thing, whatever the fuck that is.
That sounds great.
Because now Doomsday Clock is going like every other month or something. I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. What are they doing? They've been doing so well for the last couple of years. Now they just gotta fuck shit up.
Oh, boy. You know what's odd? Like, Morrison and Jeff Johns, right around the same time, seem to have a pretty good grasp of where they wanted to take DC. And whoever was in charge, whatever editor, like, it seemed like they just sort of put the brakes on and wanted, like, oh, let's reset this a little bit. Let's tweak it a little bit. But now it seems like DC's a lot more open to, oh, this is what you want to do? Oh, okay, go ahead.
So there's a couple things with that. So I know you don't keep up to date with the...
No.
And I have asked Aaron and Ronnie to go further in depth into this, and I have not seen them do it. So I'm hoping when they listen to this episode, they will actually do it. But when Rebirth came out, my thought was, Geoff Johns has a plan for this universe for the next, whatever, 2 years. And everyone is going to go kind of on this plot until Doomsday Clock comes out or something like it, right? Like back then, we didn't know it was Doomsday Clock. But we knew that, like, Geoff Johns was doing something with somebody, and it would bring in the Watchmen thing, and it would have some kind of effect on the universe. Okay? But now we have that, and it's delayed. So now Doomsday Clock is not going to be over until, like, mid to late 2019.
Oh, God. Okay? Holy Christ.
A 12-issue series.
Jesus.
So now it's delayed. I guess because Gary Frank wants to take his time to make it the best that he can. Dude, I totally get that. Like, if they want to make it the best book they can make it, then that's fine. Because originally the plan was they would do 4 issues. It would take 1 month off. 4 issues. It would take 1 month off. It would do the last 4 issues, and that was it. Because it's 12 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now they're doing the 4, they're taking a month off, and then they're taking another month off because Gary Frank needs more time, and they're doing something because they need more time, so they're doing every other month. So, 2019.
But right. Guess what? I mean, at the end of the day, the way they're approaching that is the smartest way to do it, because the majority of people are going to read that in trade.
I absolutely agree. I'm not...
I mean...
Wait, no. No, what? Because that's not collected until issue 12 comes out.
Right.
So, if you want to read it, you're going to be reading an omnibus.
Well, that's all right.
All right. That's fine.
Secret Wars? Yeah. Like tons of delays, but guess what? When you look at it as a trade, at least it all flows very well. Instead of like, oh, let's get a fill-in artist in there.
Yeah, but that was a little different because the Secret Wars thing was the delays because they wanted to expand the story. It wasn't a delay because the artist needed more time.
Well, are you saying Gary Frank's the first artist that needed a delay on a book?
Oh, absolutely not.
Right. I'd read like a whole collection that has Gary Frank art in it than substitute artists thrown in there.
Sure. But like Secret Wars was supposed to be 7 issues and they ended up being 9 issues because it was so successful. Marvel wanted more issues. As a result, they had to expand the story for every single issue to make it last 9. As a result, you had to have more art, and that took longer, of course. This seems different to me. Like, I would be like, all right, so if they said to me, and Valiant has done this, right? So when Valiant was doing Rye, they would do the 4 issues, take 3 months off. 4 issues, 3 months off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They've done some other things, like they what you will about Harbinger Renegade. The book was fine, but they were doing that too. They would do the 4 issues, 3 months. So now you've got DC, and granted, DC has done a really good job at consistently meeting their schedule.
Okay? Sure.
A lot of their books are twice a month, and that's nearly impossible for any one artist to do. So what they do is they'll have an artist do the 3 or 4 issues, they're doing them ahead of time, and then when that arc is done, they have somebody else come in. And if for some reason the artist can't do the full arc, they have the standalone issue, where they bring in a guest artist, and that guest artist is that 1 issue just to give the regular artist time to catch up. And that's totally fine, right? Because it doesn't necessarily mess up with the direction of the story.
Or they do, what is it, Wonder Woman, where they had 2 artists rotating every other month.
So you have the past stuff, and you have the future stuff, or the present stuff. But the thing is, like, that's an ongoing title. That shouldn't work the same for, first of all, an event title. And second of all, something that's supposed to directly affect direction of storytelling for the next year, 2, 5, 10. Okay? And that's what Doomsday Clock is supposed to be doing by bringing in the Watchmen characters into literally, as of issue 3, literally into the DC. That should not have a delay. See what I'm saying? Like when you
I understand what you're saying, but let's be honest. This affects the people that are reading floppies.
Sure.
And once you gather up your floppies in 2019, it's still going to be a pretty coherent story.
In 2019, when the comic industry has gone bankrupt because nobody buys floppies, because they're all just buying trades.
I won't say that. You can say that.
I just did.
My point is, in the long run, people are not going to remember these delays. They're going to look at it as a whole and does it make sense? Does it work?
Sure. And that's fine.
But it's frustrating for you. My guess is that, going back to your original statement, that is probably why Scott Snyder is now doing his alternate Dark Universe. Cause he's probably like, what the hell's going on here? Why am I'm waiting to do this. I'm waiting to do, like, I'm sure those writer retreats, I'm sure no one is happy that all these delays are happening.
No, that's the thing. That has me even more worried about things. Because now it almost feels like you have a split DC universe, where you have whatever Geoff Johns wants to do on one side, and whatever Scott Snyder wants to do on the other side. Because, I mean, granted...
You absolutely have a split creative universe, for sure.
Okay, but...
There's no way around that. I mean, you can easily tell that's exactly what they're doing.
So to me, it's not as split as what Marvel has been doing. I think it's still more cohesive. But at the same time, which one are you taking to base your universe on, right? So I understand, like, everything matters. I'm totally with that. Totally with that. But the thing, like, you can't have two universe-defining events happening at the same time. You have to pick one. See what I'm saying? Like, which one is it?
Why do you have to pick one?
Because if they're going in opposite directions, you cannot reconcile the two, Nick.
Well, if they're going in opposite directions, then one event's not going to affect the other one. Who cares?
But one of them, but they're both affecting deeply the universe as a whole.
It's affecting your universe.
No, it's affecting the entire universe. What Johns is doing is affecting the universe in a more subdued way, maybe in a more long-term way. Well, obviously long-term, because now the book's not done for another year and a half. But it's bringing those characters in, the Watchmen characters. Whereas the stuff that Snyder is doing is, I guess, the way you look at it, technically immediately affecting the universe. But at the same time, like, for how long? Is what Snyder is doing kind of a fix until Johns is done with the story? Because I don't want that either.
Okay. Well, let's
see what I'm saying? I want the one thing that makes sense that drives the universe. I don't want two things that to me seem obviously split from each other and ultimately have to be retconned in some way to be reconciled. All right. With that, let me pause for a second. I gotta go pee and I gotta bring this dog in because she's barking. Hang on.
Okay. Hello.
All right. So.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because when you brought up Snyder, is he doing this as a, what did you call it? A replacement?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't want to call it a replacement per se.
But is that, no. Let me ask that. Is this what he's doing? Like, in the interim, let me do this dark universe. Mm-hmm. Or, knowing that all of these things have been pushed back, did he move forward with this dark universe to undermine the whole Watchmen Doomsday Clock thing? Because it seems like these two don't play well together.
I mean, ultimately they could, right? I mean, I'm assuming they plan years ahead. And when Rebirth first came out, I assumed that they had at least the first 2 years planned. And that's kind of where we're at now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're roughly, like in the second year. But I don't remember them mentioning any of the metal stuff when Rebirth first came out.
No.
And when the metal stuff was announced that Snyder and Capullo were doing it, I was fine with it. But to me, it almost felt like kind of an Elseworlds thing.
Mm.
But it seems like now it's on top of the multiverse thing. And I don't feel like, why go further into something else when you haven't explored the first thing to begin with? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because now we're going to end up having the same problem we had back in the 80s, which is why we had to have Final Crisis. Like, you had to have an event to fix all the bullshit that you were coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it now. You just fix the bullshit. Don't bring more bullshit in here.
Maybe they're beyond the bullshit.
Well, and
maybe they don't care about it.
That's the other argument, right? Because when they started doing the Rebirth stuff, part of the impetus behind it was to let the creators tell whatever the best story was, right? So, like, if what happened in Batman didn't necessarily coincide what was going on in Justice League, that was fine,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they could find some way around it. But that's different when you start bringing in, like, all this extra stuff that ultimately does deeply affect the universe. I mean, they're launching 4 new books out of this.
Can I ask you just a layman question?
But, and not just 4 new books. All the DC Age of Heroes stuff they're mm-hmm. doing, which is like all brand new characters, the Silencer and Damage. I think Terrifics is out of that, and what is it, Immortal Man, a couple other ones. All that stems out of DC Metal.
Mm.
All right, ask me your question.
I get that it's ruffling your continuity feathers a little bit, but does it, when you're dealing with like Terry and Batman Beyond, and they have an event in that, what was it, Futures Past or Futures End
Futures
or whatever
End,
the
yeah.
hell. Yeah. Whether that was a success or not, I have my own opinion.
It was not.
It was hot garbage.
I'm glad we agree. Continue.
But, you know, that stuff could have affected other books.
Sure.
But they always do it under the guise of, this is Earth XYZ. And same with, like, Warren Ellis doing the Wildstorm. Like, characters have appeared in there, you know, Green Arrow has appeared in there, but this is on Earth XYZ. So that's okay, because that isn't my Green Arrow. Well, who's to say Scott Snyder's Dark Universe to be the same Batman?
Well, no, that's the thing, right? It's not necessarily the same. There's multiple Batman in Metal. That's the thing. There's multiple of them.
So why are you getting your tights in a bunch?
Because
who's to say either one of them are going to mess around with your Bat family?
It's not about the Bat family.
Okay.
It's about general continuity.
Oh, okay. so you need one through storyline that everything makes sense.
I don't need that either, Nick. That's not what I'm saying. What I don't want is for them to be putting out multiple stories simultaneously mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that will directly impact whatever the quote-unquote established continuity. See what I'm saying?
Maybe they don't want to play with the established continuity, quote.
But the way that DC Metal is, you're bringing, I mean, theoretically, 52 new Earths, right? Because, so you have 52. I mean, dude, you read DC 52. You loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the Metal universe is the negative 52. Before you had Earth 1 through 52, and mm-hmm. you have Earth negative 1 through negative 52.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they never fully explored the 52 they already had. See what I'm saying? Like, I understand the impetus to create these interesting stories that people will buy, and Metal's selling great, and I'm very happy for DC that they're selling a shit ton of books. But my thing is, they couldn't make this make sense within the existing 52 that we had.
But you're going back to my original point. Is this Scott Snyder taking Geoff Johns out at the knee, saying, I don't want to wait for you to wrap up your shit. I'm just going to create the negative universe.
And
now I'll be over here playing in it, and let's see if these books can sell. Because if they can, then I'm going to stay in this universe. If they can't, well, guess what? After all of these, you know, BS delays and whatever the hell you're doing with your sandbox, I'll come back in it and I'll rescue you.
Sure. That's possible.
It, it feels like the boy who grabbed the ball and like, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
You're not giving me these options. I want these options. I'm going to just get out of this universe and go to my own universe.
Well, and that's almost like that argument, right? Like whoever makes the best stories with, right? But at the same time, like when you have two creative juggernauts, like Snyder and like Geoff Johns,
mm-hmm.
and you're pitting them against each other to see who truly does come up with the best story, that seems counterproductive to me.
Yeah, but this also could be Snyder wanting to cut off Robin's arm and Geoff Johns saying, no, 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 we're using Robin in issue 10 of XYZ, and no, you can't do that.
Sure, but here's the thing. So, okay. All right, so let me take your example further. So right now, Snyder is the hotness, okay, because Doomsday Clock is pushed back. So 2018 will be the metal year, and 2019 will be the Doomsday Clock year.
Oh, boy.
Let's just say, right, because Doomsday Clock is pushed back, they have to have something to keep the sales going. Right?
Sure.
So on the selling side, I'm not complaining at all. Look, whatever works, right? Like, I'm still going to buy them. I think what either one of them are doing is great. Like, I'm really enjoying Metal, so I'm not shitting on it. I'm really enjoying Doomsday Clock. I'm not shitting on it. But my concern is more of, do they override each other? See what I'm saying? And what I don't want is for me to get to 2019 and finish Doomsday Clock and say to myself, well, why the fuck did I read DC Metal? Like, none of that matters. Or will
you get to the end? And then my guess is DC will be like, oh, Justice League, let's not say Justice League Dark. Dark Justice League is selling X amount of books. Well, let's get rid of this dark universe, but we'll roll Dark Justice League into the regular DC fit. Well, how are you going to do that?
They'll
figure it out.
Look, first of all, a book like Justice League Dark will never be a top seller.
No, I'm just saying, could I see DC cherry pick all of the Dark Universe books if they wanted to like end the Dark Universe? Let's say they just wanted to like end it.
Oh, they could do that.
Yeah, then they're going to cherry pick these books and be like, oh, that Dark Commandy book? Yeah, let's bring that over because that's a big seller. And of course they're going to do that. They're always going to have the best of the best, but the best books, the best titles, no, the best selling.
But see, for me, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. So let's take Mike for example, because we love Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike always says everything matters, and I agree with Mike 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because 99% of the time, everything does matter. Sometimes it takes many years for those things to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like we've talked about Multiversity a lot, which I've read and loved. If I remember, you've read and enjoyed quite a bit,
for sure.
But it almost seemed like when Multiversity was coming out, that Multiversity wouldn't matter because nobody talked about it. And then as we've gotten further and further into DC Rebirth, a lot of the Multiversity stuff has become more, mm-hmm. in large part, because of the stuff that was coming out of Action Superman. And that made all that relevant again. It made, for example, All-Star Superman relevant again. But at the same time, I want everything to be relevant. I don't want DC to start throwing shit at the wall and hope that one of those things becomes relevant. And then we forget about the rest of it. See what I'm saying? Because up until now, up until this week, to be honest, a lot of the DC Metal stuff to me seemed more Elseworlds than continuity.
Yeah, throwaway.
And now that we have these Justice League books spinning out of DC Metal, it's almost like now DC Metal is continuity, and it is affecting other stuff, right? So, like you asked about Aquaman, there was some interesting developments that came out of Batman the Drowned that apparently will deeply affect the Aquaman ongoing going forward. And that's why he's not in any of the Justice League books.
Huh.
But But of course, you wouldn't know that if you didn't read Aquaman the Drowned. You see what I'm saying?
Batman the Drowned.
Or Batman the Drowned.
Exactly.
So, like, it's not necessarily the direction I want. Now, I'm not saying this stuff won't affect the DC universe going forward, but what I don't want is to have multiple huge writers writing huge stories that affect the universe deeply going forward, mm-hmm. that ultimately they have to find some way to reconcile. Because that's the problem we've had for the past almost 40 years.
Could this be a lack of editorial, like guidance, leadership?
See, and that's the thing, dude. Like, I hope not, right?
Our friend, our buddy, Dan DiDio.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yes. Because he would let people get big and try stuff, and it always felt like he also was at the reins, letting them know, like, we can't do that. No, no, no.
Well, and
like you let the creatives take over. You know, that's like the crazies taking over the asylum. Sure. Like, guess what? Scott Snyder will be like, I don't want anyone playing in these sandboxes. I'm going to go create my own universe.
Sure.
And what are you going to do? Say no to him? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, as soon as you tell him okay, then in you're justifying it like, well, he's a top seller and he'll know what he's doing. And my guess is he probably is just flying by the seat of his pants.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Like, he might know what he's doing. Right? Like, he's Scott Snyder, dude.
Yeah, but, like, back to your point. Scott Snyder can go and, like, okay, I'm going to go on to such and such planet that no one's on right now and take over the World War II planet, you know, or World War I planet.
Sure.
You know, no one else is playing in that playground, so I'm going to take that over. Like, he could do that.
He could
just go on to another planet, and then guess what? Then Johns' title is not going to affect him one way or the other. But instead, the ego takes over and like, well, if he's playing in a 52 planet, I'm going to play in a 52 planet.
Yeah, but see, that's what I don't want, right? Like, right. I want them to find some kind of common ground. Like, if they just want to do Elseworld stories, then that's fine. Just tell me, none of this fucking shit matters. Everything's an Elseworld story. Everybody have fun. Right? Because, like, alright, so, like, the Bat family, that's almost what it feels like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you've got the Batman books, which are going one direction. You got Detective, which is going a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the, like, Creature of the Night, which Kurt Busiek is a genius. He should write every fucking book in the comics industry.
Yeah.
Astro City's ending, RIP. Very sad. Cry the next couple episodes. Until the last issue.
What's Brett Anderson doing?
I don't know.
Dang, that's a shame.
Astro City, look,
get that guy get paid.
No, I'm sure.
You see, take him under your wing.
Look, I'm sure he's gonna have something.
I'm sure.
Did they come out? I need to check. Here's the thing about going digital, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You subscribe to books and you don't know. Like, Issue 50 either came out this past Wednesday or it's coming out this Wednesday.
Okay.
Anyways, so but it's only got like two issues left, and then Astro City.
Mm.
And then there's Dark Prince Charming, which is another Elseworld story by a European artist.
Sure.
You've got White Knight by Sean Murphy. That's like really like highly well received right now.
Yeah, I've seen all the hype.
Yeah, they're considering doing a sequel to it. But it's very much Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got like this pocket Batman universe.
Ninja Batman.
Ninja Batman's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon. By the way, Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, good to know.
We'll talk about that soon. So Ninja Batman's coming out. You've got like other sides. So you've got like your Superman side, right? Action and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome job so far, but then Bendis is coming in. I'm sure he's going to change a whole lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, Bendis and Snyder are very close. And, like, sure, like, him and Jeff Johns are close. But, like, him and Snyder are buddy-buddy.
You don't see pictures of Bendis with Johns posted as frequently on Twitter as you do the other two.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So, like, that has me wondering, like, which way is Bendis gonna go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, right now, the big talk is Action 1000, which is, like, a couple months away. And Bendis is a story in it. Like, it's a big thing, right? Because there's a lot of creators. They're doing some awesome freaking covers to it.
Yeah.
They're doing, like, a 30s cover, a 40s cover, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s cover. There's, like, 10 different variants. And
that's cool.
They all sound awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, what happens after 1000? Because the way that I keep seeing what keeps mentioned about it with Bendis, it almost seems like we're going to have this big thing for 1000, and then for 1001, we're going to step back. And it's going to be the Bendis hour. See what I'm saying? And I don't mind that. I think Bendis did a fantastic job with a lot of the Marvel property. But now that we have this whole thing with Snyder and Metal, we have this whole thing with Jeff Johns and Doomsday Clock. Now you're throwing Bendis into the mix. Sure, everything matters, but I want everything to matter. And I don't want things to start not mattering or only matter for this year until this next big story finishes. You know what I'm saying?
I never knew you were such a continuity nerd.
I want it all to make sense.
Yes, you're a continuity nerd. Well, I love it.
It's not so much that. I don't want DC turn into Marvel.
Who cares?
I care.
Listen, you think, okay, Doom Patrol gets canceled.
Yeah, but that's not DC.
What?
It's not DC.
What are you talking about?
It's Young Animal. That's not DC.
Oh, give me a break. Okay. They cancel Green Arrow.
Okay.
Are you trying to say they're not just going to relaunch Green Arrow?
Oh, sure.
Right. It's going to move on.
But you're talking Green Arrow. That's not like a heavy hitter title. Like, it sells fine, but it's not like you're saying, oh, well, they're going to cancel Batman, or they're going to cancel Superman. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of middle of the road, or actually lower bottom of the road.
Right. But they ain't going to cancel a Batman book unless it's not performing.
Sure.
And guess what? If all of a sudden a Batman Red Rain universe book came out and was doubling the sales of, you know, detective, you don't think that they're going to be like, yeah, let's put some money and marketing behind this and bring this into current continuity.
Oh.
I don't know how you're going to do it, but just get it done.
I'm sure they will.
And now there's vampires in Gotham. Enjoy.
Bring it. That sounds awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they can do whatever the hell they want. I'm not precious with continuity, but I love it. And I love the people that are. Like, you have to fly that flag. You go fly it. I'm right there with them. Where do you stand with Batman's in a lot of books? Does the voice always have to be the same?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I want it to be similar, but at the same time, I think to make it sound the same, wouldn't that be fair to the writers? Because I think every writer has their own voice, right? And so you want to give each writer enough room to let their story breathe.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's certain tenets of certain characters that you have to keep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like elongated man will never be the brooding person, you know?
Sure.
And some people make like Frank Castle real chatty and some people make Frank Castle stoic and quiet.
God, those are two great examples. So elongated man is in the current season of Flash on CW.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very glad because Barry's in jail.
Uh-huh.
He's been framed for murder.
Oh, and okay.
That whole story is super boring. But then you've got an elongated man in there, and he's fucking hilarious.
Mm.
And I wish they would just turn the show into the elongated man show.
A detective story.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And what was the other one you just mentioned?
Punisher.
Punisher. So we didn't discuss this in depth. But Punisher is in the new Thanos book.
Mm, okay. Wait, with Donny Cates?
Is that a spoiler? Spoiler alert!
I don't care.
I know.
With Donny Cates?
Yeah, Donny Cates.
Okay.
So Donny Cates is doing the new Thanos book. And, as it turns out, spoiler alert, you don't want to hear the spoiler, fast forward 30 seconds. Because in the Punisher book, the Punisher has become, like War Machine.
Correct.
In the Thanos book, Frank Castle is the Ghost Rider.
What the hell?
And it's fucking amazing.
I'm sure that's driving plenty of people crazy.
Look, here's it's driving plenty of people crazy.
Yeah.
Ronnie hates it.
I can only imagine.
And you know Ronnie. Ronnie loves some Donny Cates.
Mm-hmm.
He does not like this Ghost Rider thing.
I'm sure it drives everyone crazy. Like, that can't be Frank Castle. He's over here doing this. Wait, hold on. Like, guess what? That was always a slam against Bendis's teams when, like, he does a good Spider-Man, but Wolverine shouldn't be all quippy and fun and lighthearted.
Mm. Yeah.
But still, it's one of those, like, yeah, but that's Bendis. Just, you know, oh well. Yeah, so.
But it's really good, though. It's really good.
That's hilarious. And I have to read the I have the first part of Thanos Wins, so I'll have to read that.
I gotta ask you, did you get that Black Bolt that I told you to get?
Was that the first volume?
Yeah, first volume.
It, the link that you sent me, it said it wasn't available, that I could preview the pages.
Wait, I didn't send you the Amazon. I sent you the tweet.
Sure.
I'll see if I can find it. I'll put it in the show notes. Because I've been buying Black Bolt monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Bolt is, sorry, Danny Cates, the best book Marvel's putting out. It really is.
Okay. I believe you.
I'm going to see if I can find it. But the Black Bolt Volume 1 was on sale on Amazon Kindle for $1.99.
Oh, nice.
And if you have your Amazon account tied into your, oh, yep, still there.
I do not have my Amazon account tied to my Comixology.
All right. Well, you should. I mean, you don't have to, but the thing is if you buy, so Comixology does a lot of sales, but the Kindle store also has been doing a lot of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. So
I know they're good deals. I get it.
If you haven't tied in together, get this trade for $1.99, and I want to say it's the first five issues. And again, Black Bolt is the best series that Marvel's putting out right now. Yeah, I'm gonna paste it into. So you can look at it later. But it's really fun. Black Bolt is so good. Here's the thing about Black Bolt. I think the Inhumans have gotten kind of a bad name in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've gone through like so many iterations. And then, you know, like Marvel kind of put the X-Men aside because they didn't own them. And they wanted to put all their efforts into Inhumans. But now that Disney owns Fox, like they're kind of kicking the Inhumans to the side because they're going to own the X-Men again. And there's been a few X-Men or Inhuman books over the last few years, and they've been fine.
Uh-huh.
But this Black Bolt book, it's written by Saladin Ahmed, who I believe is a fiction writer.
Okay.
So he's not a comic book writer. He came from novels. The artist Christian Ward, which I don't know what he's done before, but the name is very familiar.
He did for Image Odyssey with Grant Morrison.
Oh, yes, that's right. And he did the...
very Kirby-esque.
Yeah, he's kind of Kirby-esque. He did work on the Ultimates also.
There you go.
The art's awesome. But this book, it doesn't sell very well. I think they're selling like 10 or 12,000 copies a month, which for a Marvel book, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But the editorial staff refuses to let Marvel cancel this book.
Wow, neat.
Because all the editors at Marvel loved.
That's cool.
So they keep it going. Anyways, the volume one is like $1.99 on Comixology. You should get it. It's freaking awesome.
Cool.
And yeah, if you want to buy it, it's on Unlimited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I recommend. So much comic talk, Nick!
Well, you said you wanted to.
I'm not even done with comic talk. we can be done with comic talk for today.
Why is that? Go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to bring up a couple of books.
Sure.
That I read, God, some of these like 3 weeks.
Ooh.
One that I read this past week. So I'm going to bring up the other two first because they're already available. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring the third one last because it won't be up for another month.
Oh.
So the first two I want to bring up are...
Oh my gosh.
My phone may be broken.
Wow, that did not sound like fun.
So the first one I bring up is Death Betty It is by Novelty Comics.
Oh.
And Novelty Comics is a brand new publisher. And they're pretty awesome. They only have the one book out now. It's Death Betty. Issue 0 is out currently. That's the one that I read. And issue 1 comes out Valentine's, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
And it's very odd. I don't know how to describe it. But it was a ton of fun to read. And I highly suggest it. All their books are going to be 99 cents on Comixology.
Mm-hmm.
The company was started by Ryan Wynn, who is an inker for Valiant Comics. And he inks Divinity and Eternity. And he came upon some of these alternative comics, which are being sold for $1.50. And he's like, yeah, I want to do that because I've got stories to tell. And so he started Novelty Comics. Neat. So Death Betty's first one, and it's really fucking good. So I suggest.
What would you say the genre is?
Oh, God. So, action?
Okay.
It's weird. I tweeted at Ryan, and I was like, this reminds me of Furikuri. And people that don't watch anime don't know what Furikuri is. But for those of you that do, it reads pretty much like an episode of Furikuri. It's describe it. It's like,
did he agree with that?
Oh, he totally agreed. He said Furikuri was the action.
No, that's awesome.
It's like this weird. It's like heavy action, but the way the story is told is almost like Seinfeld nonsensical. It's really fun though. It's fucking 99 cents. Just buy it, okay? Well, Death Betty. The second one I wanted to pimp out, I heard about through our friends over at the Geek Brunch podcast.
Nice.
And this is Friendship Paradox. It's written and art by Monica Munoz. And apparently she's been working on this book for years by herself. The first issue is out. It's $1.99. It is a time travel story, which you know, Nick, I adore.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. It's very much like a comic web series type style to the art, but the story goes to some very interesting, and as much as I love time travel stories, some very interesting places that I haven't seen other time travel stories dive into. So that says a lot to this comic.
Yeah.
But it's very enjoyable. It's, again, Comixology, so you can find it on there. But I think this is Comixology exclusive. I think Death Betty might be also. But well worth picking up. The final comic I wanted to talk about is called Come Into Me. And Nick, I'm surprised you didn't chuckle because it is a slightly perverted name.
Yes.
But it is a new title called Black Mask.
Okay.
It is Zach Thompson, friend of the show, Zach Thompson, did the dregs. He's got a new book for Aftershock coming out. He's the new ongoing writer for Cable. And the artist is, Lon Handler, I want to say. Is that right? Matter of fact, let me check my email.
Sure.
We'll just say it's Lon Handler. We're about to find out. Lonnie Nadler is the artist. And
So close.
He did the art for The Dregs, which was written by Thompson, also came out to Ask. And this book is coming out at the end of February. Zach and Lonnie were kind enough to send me a copy of it that I could read. And
nice.
I can't talk about it.
No.
But I can comment on it. And I have to say, I commented on it on Twitter. Some people replied. I know some people had already ordered it. But this book is...
Nice.
It is.
Is it going to be a consistent schedule?
That's my concern. Because as a Black Mask book, they tend to be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ask that publicly, but Lonnie was kind enough to send me a copy in my email, so I'm going to email him and find out. Hopefully he'll be on it.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can get Lonnie and Zach on my new show.
Great.
But yeah, it's coming out, and it's really fucking awesome. It's a mix of sci-fi and horror, which, Nick, you know I love genres.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, did you ever see the movie Existence?
No.
Okay. Well, in some ways, it reminds me of Existence, except darker. Existence is I can't remember. But people plug into this like virtual reality kind of thing. But you have to find out like what, and that's kind of what come into it in some ways. Again, I can't talk about it because I'm not allowed. But it's really fucking good. You should get it.
That's so, encouraging. That's encouraging. I like it.
Anything else you want to discuss tonight?
No, I was just curious if you read anything good, and you gave me a little rundown. I appreciate it.
I've read a lot of good things.
Ooh, bragger.
I don't want to talk about them yet.
Why is that?
Because I don't want to just kind of say, hey, this is awesome, I read. Go to the next thing.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
But I know you've been reading some Starman.
Yeah, I still have to finish it. I'm still...
You're pretty close, though.
Yeah. I'm one issue away. I'm reading the Robinson 1 million Starman right now. Yeah. And it's great because they're all Robinson. But he also loves to get pretty in depth with the stories. So they're not at all quick reads, which is fine by me. Because I'm coming down to the last issue, which I will probably finish tonight. And I will peel yet another tear for Starman.
Well, I guess that means that Rob and I need to get on it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We need to discuss another book.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
You know, that book.
No, I don't.
The one that you just read, because I talk about it all the time.
52?
Oh, Wildstorm.
Oh, The Wildstorm. Yes, yeah. That's what I want to discuss. Well, We have to let that one breathe and ruminate a little bit. We can't do it justice in the last 5 minutes of our podcast.
Yeah, no, we can do that. Matter of fact, we should do... Oh, we'll talk about that later. Let's wrap this episode up, Nick.
But I will say, the last books I've been reading, or that I finished, have been... And this is pretty much since finishing The Wildstorm. I finished two... issues of Bendis Guardians of the Galaxy, the 52 Omnibus, the of course, the wonderful Grant Morrison Invisibles book one, and the last one that I sort of wanted to read because I wanted to get Capes and Cowls out of my head. So I read Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie.
Wait, you don't have to go in depth now.
Sure.
Put in the show notes for next episode.
Okay.
But tell me how much you enjoyed that, or didn't enjoy that.
No, that was a fabulous read. That was fantastic.
I thought you'd like
it. Yeah, that was... The art was fantastic, and not knowing either of the creative team, I was quite blown away.
Is that still going on?
I believe so. Okay. I just got the trade. The trade was on sale. Like I said, I wasn't familiar with Anthony Deltol or Werther Delaria? I wasn't familiar with either of them, but they both thoroughly impressed me. And it's very easy to write Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and make them sound very similar. And all three characters had distinct voices, which was really fun.
I gotta ask you, when... So you picked the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this now. This has been going on for like 12 issues.
Okay.
I didn't even know. 'Cause I heard about it when the first issue came out. And nobody that I know has talked about it since.
Yeah, it went on sale, and I asked on my Twitter if anyone read it, and no one really wrote back. So I was just like, you know what? The art looks cool. I read the synopsis for the story. I went through all of the issues and like did the preview pages, and I liked the layouts. I liked the pacing. It just looked like plenty of fun, and it certainly was that.
This is Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie, right?
You got it.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, that was a surprise.
So if you had to compare it to something else, what would you compare this to?
Probably like a Hard Case Files.
A Hard Case Crime?
Yeah.
It really?
There was plenty of noir to it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we're about to do something we haven't done on this podcast for a long time.
Oh no.
I'm about to order this on Amazon.
To the Amazons?
Ah, that covers all.
It is, isn't it? And just like a good noir, the person that you think might have done it did not.
Oh, I like the art too.
It is. It's really nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Find now with one click.
You're back.
Oh, damn it. No.
Did you buy the Comixology?
Yeah, I got a Kindle version. I wanted to pay.
Oh, what are you doing?
Can I return
it? Yeah, I'm sure you can. Right,
we'll get out of here. We'll do that later. No, I want to return it. I want a paperback.
This has inspired me to want to read more Anthony Del Cole, as well as more Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. Who would have thought I would say that as an adult?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, but it's fun. I appreciate the weird love triangle, and you know, it's just it's goofy.
No, I like that. I like the fact that there's still publishers willing to take a chance on weird stories. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's nice to see.
Yeah.
Anthony Del Cole has done all the Assassin's Creed stuff.
Oh, interesting. Well, guess what? Next time Assassin's Creed is on sale through Comixology, I will be picking that up. Because I've always enjoyed the games, and I think he could do some interesting things with the history of those games. So,
very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. I'm trying to think if I have anything else. I rewatched Blade Runner 2049 today.
Ooh, look at you.
It was still great.
So you bought it, you didn't rent it?
No, I rented it. I rented it.
Oh, interesting. Are you going to watch it one more time before your 24 hours is up?
So apparently Google Play now does 48 hours.
Ooh.
So I might watch it again tomorrow night. And then I'll be good for a couple months until the extended director comes.
Smart.
But I'm really looking forward to see what that. That's because great. Rewatching it, so I tried to watch it last night, but I took NyQuil last night and fell asleep at like 7:30.
How did that feel?
It was fine. I went to bed about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I woke up this morning at like 9 a.m. So I slept a ton.
Did you have a heavy head from the NyQuil?
No, not really.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
But definitely felt better.
Good.
Felt awful yesterday.
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah, it sounded all right. So I watched that. It was great the second time. My wife watched Jigsaw and was confused. So she's like, we should watch it together. And we watched it tonight.
And
I predicted the entire movie in the first 5 minutes. And I was right.
Yeah, of course.
And she's like, how the hell did you know that? And I said, science.
This movie is really not shooting. So it's pretty much a straight line, A to B to C to D.
Yeah. But it was actually, mm-hmm. it was not horrible.
Sure.
Matter of fact, it was a little, it was kind of toned down Saw movie, honest. But yeah, it was fine. It was fine. So yeah, she and I watched that.
I had an entire weekend, and all intentions of finishing up Electric Dreams.
Mm.
Let's get involved in what was the other show that you told? Eric McCormick show.
Travelers.
Let's finish up the first season of that. Come on, let's do this.
How far did you get?
I have a couple documentaries. Let's get in here. I didn't watch anything.
What?
Yeah, nothing.
Wait. How far are you the traveler?
And to be honest with you, like, I can't even tell you if my wife and I even watched TV this entire weekend.
Oh my God.
I can't even pull out like, oh yeah, we watched this instead. No, not really. All I remember is Friday night, I watch 2 episodes of Travelers. So I'm up to episode 4.
Wait, that's it?
And then my wife came home and she did not want to watch Travelers. And then I decided to put on His Girl Friday after talking to you about it. I found it on Amazon Prime and I'm like, oh, hell yeah, let's watch it. I put that on. And then Saturday, Sunday, we didn't watch TV. It was never on.
Wow.
Yeah. And she even said we should get through Electric Dream. So she was all on board. We just never, ever got there.
Mm.
Very weird.
Yeah, I still have not finished that show.
Yeah, I want that's the top, but Travelers, since she's not watching it with me, I'll probably get through Travelers quicker.
Well, see, so the thing is, I've been too busy watching the Overwatch League. So, like,
that's so good.
When I have free time to watch something, I just watched like Overwatch League or the Hearthstone World Championships just happened this past week.
Oh yeah.
So I've been trying to catch up. I've been trying to catch up on that stuff. And
doesn't that drive you crazy? Because at the end of the night, you're like, "What did I even watch?"
No, that's the best though. Because like when I watch the Overwatch Championships, I don't know what the fuck's happening. It's just super fun to watch. So I don't I don't give a shit when it's over. And then the Hearthstone one, like I'll watch it. And a lot of the games are kind of boring because a lot of the players are bringing in decks that I've seen before.
Mm.
But like there was one of the semifinal matches and championship match that were really good. Matter of fact, I would say the semifinals were better than the championship matches.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, well, but because there were a couple of players that brought decks that nobody else was playing. And the thing is, like, if you play Hearthstone and you play these decks, and like, okay, it's Razakas Priest. Then you go and you watch the championships, and like, they're playing Razakas Priest. And like, okay, like, I could just, everybody's playing this fucking deck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a shit. But when somebody brings in something different and exciting, then it's cool to watch.
Yeah, that's like, you're watching a fighting championship, and then all of a sudden somebody brings in a character that no one else, like, oh, yeah, that character's horrible.
Yeah.
No one uses it. And then somebody brings it in, and it's like, oh my God, I didn't even know you could do that.
Exactly. It's like, but hey, let's talk about DC Comics, and then all of a sudden we're just talking about Justice League of America, which is terrible, but we're talking about it.
Oh, but I have to say, I used to watch long-form videos of, like, video games that I've wanted to see, like I'm on the fence about.
Mm-hmm.
And that would instantly sell me on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like listening. If the person has personality and, like, I'm attracted to that person, like, this person knows how to tell what they're doing.
Yes.
Or brings a sense of comedy or something extra to it. Not just sitting back there and, like, all quiet and just playing the game for me. But just sitting there and listening to one or two people talk about the game while they're playing, even if they're talking about baseball, I don't care. But at least I can watch the game that I'm interested in watching, as well as the person I can listen to the personalities that I'm interested in listening to.
Dude, and that was really good about the Overwatch League. Like, those guys know way too much about that game.
Sure.
To be honest, they're really entertaining, and it's more interesting for me to watch the Overwatch League to watch an NFL game.
Yeah, for sure. It's the personalities that are explained.
Yeah.
Even above the action that's happening on the screen.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I also have this weird thing about, like, I want to know everything about everything. And the way these guys explain the game to me is, like, I don't know anything about this game. I don't give a shit about this game because I never played it. But, like, the way you're telling me how this game is played and what the strategies that these teams are doing is about, then that makes me excited to watch this game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. See, but I mean, back to, like, now I watch these long-form videos or Twitch streams of these games.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for the personality that's explaining it. And now I'm not even, like, interested, where before it'd be like, I gotta buy that. Now it's like, I feel like I'm just watching this person do that. And it's like, it's satiating me enough to be like, I don't know if I need to buy that.
Yeah.
And I mean, even talking like multiplayer games, like unless I have like four or five people on my friends list that are like, dude, we got to play this. Like if it's just one lone friend that owns that game, it won't be enough for me to be like, I got to own it. Cause I've watched it. I watched hundreds of hours of it on Twitch and I'm done.
I think it's time to wrap this up. God, this is like the longest episode in months, Nick.
I know. I don't know what to do.
So far, the longest episode of 20, what is it?
20 Slate Clean.
Slate Clean.
That's right.
You've been listening to the flagship podcast of the Nerdy Legion Network. The Nerdy Legion! You can find Nick and I every week at nerdylegion.com/podcast/NL. Or find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekbind, at NerdLegion. And the email is nerdlegion@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We've got plenty more. Have a good night.